There is tremendous competition today in the beverage aisle. And it's not just from plant-based. Actually, plant-based is probably less of a concern than some of the water beverages that are being sold. Some of the higher protein and energy drinks that are being sold that aren't dairy, that actually is probably more in terms of redirecting market share than the plant-based. I think the concern we have with plant-based is a simple one, and that is that they continue to use the term milk. And the reason they do is because there is a certain connotation of nutritional value commensurate with that term milk. And the reality is they can't actually match up against real milk. They don't have the vitamins, they don't have the minerals, they don't have the amino acids, they don't have a nutritional composition that's equal or better. So the industry has asked the FDA to enforce the rule that's on the books that suggests that the term milk should only be used if it comes from an animal and not from a plant. The FDA has been aware of the rule. Their response is we don't have the resources to enforce it, which I don't find particularly persuasive. If you don't have the resources, then take the rule off the books. But if it's on the books, it's your job to enforce it. I think what they're doing now is trying to look at a way in which potentially a beverage could use the term milk if they can prove nutritional equivalence, which I think is going to be very difficult for these plant-based beverages. You know, when you think of dairy, I think we have a tendency to think solely of fluid milk, which is obviously an incredibly important component of it, but it's not the only component. And as we see more consumption of butter and cheese, and we're eating a lot of our dairy in addition to drinking it. And I think the future is going to continue to be an innovation. I think we're going to see a lot of ways in which the milk carton, the milk container, the protein levels, the sugar levels, the fat levels of various products are going to be increased and worked on. And we're going to find ways to as well to use for muscle building and things of that nature. I know in Japan, for example, we have a relationship with a franchise called Curves. It's primarily focused on senior women, and they have about 800,000 members, about 2,000 locations in Japan. And they sell on a subscription basis whey powder, and they encourage their subscribers to use the whey powder in their breakfast or in their lunch or in their meals for their own health. They're very excited about continuing to expand the membership of their subscription, and they have a campaign this month and next month to try to increase it by 70,000-80,000. They're using our information, our data from USDEC and from the industry about the protein capacity of whey, and the result is 50% of all the products that they sell, roughly 50% of it comes from us. So if we can get 70,000-80,000 more subscribers, that means we're going to be selling more whey powder into that market. At the same time, they're also thinking about starting a similar operation for men. So I think the point of this, I guess, is that there are an awful lot of different ways to innovate our way to a healthy dairy industry, and we at USDEC, from an export perspective, are trying to sell each and every way. While domestically, we continue to focus on being competitive on the fluid milk side, but also making sure that good cheese, butter, and so forth is readily available.